All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, Daredevil, Born Again. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And not right now, Daredevil, Born Again, because we are not spoiling it. We're not recapping it. That's going
to
wait.
Out for, it's guys, not out it's not yet. Out. Come yeah. on. Out here to do
Can't
that.
Wait.
Can't wait. That's what we're going to be getting into. We're pretty hyped for the return of Daredevil on Disney Plus. It Come is on. Premiering with two episodes on March 4th. And to prepare ourselves emotionally, as well as you, the listeners, we are going to do a little bit of a preview episode, talk about our thoughts on Daredevil, on the Netflix show, on the return here, what we're excited about, what we're nervous about.
10 minutes on Foggy.
10 minutes. We got... Pete,
your Foggy
you
time
late.
Was cut.
Yeah. He was only 3 minutes late. He was only 3 minutes. We gave him,
oh,
he
really?
Said 10 minutes. He was
oh,
3 minutes late.
I took the full
late.
10.
You've took the full 10. So
I
unfortunately,
thought it was
10. Yes. So unfortunately, we're going to have to cut down on your Karen Page time, Justin. 7 minutes out of that.
All right. I guess we'll turn LePage on that character. It's a phrase I say.
So I assume most of our listeners know this since you're all or mostly all devoted Marvel fans. But just in case not, to give you a little bit of groundwork here, there were 3 seasons of Daredevil on Netflix, plus a Defenders spinoff and a couple of other shows, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, another one that nobody remembers and we're not going to talk about, as well as a Punisher show that ran there. All of those were canceled. They were moved over to Disney Plus. We knew that we were getting some sort of revival of Daredevil, and we've seen little teases here and there of it throughout the MCU. Vincent D'Onofrio playing the Kingpin showed up in Hawkeye and also in Echo. Charlie Cox as Daredevil showed up in She-Hulk and also Spider-Man No Way Home, as well as doing the voice on the recent Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. But without getting too much into the behind-the-scenes drama, since there's a lot of back and forth and questions about it, they initially picked up the show for a huge chunk of episodes, got stopped because of strikes, and in the middle of shooting the show were like, this is not working, we got to take a totally new look here. Brought in a new writing staff, brought in new directors, brought back a bunch of actors who had been on the Netflix show, and at least as far as I've read, reportedly brought it much more in line with basically a fourth season of the Netflix show versus what it was before, which, again, there have been varying reports, but it sounds like it was more a half trial procedural, half vigilante show. Mostly Daredevil was out of costume the entire time, and they felt like, hey, we got to get to all this whole thing much quicker and get to what the fans want and get to what they want to see based on the Netflix show. The advance word, and then I'll sort of wrap up my monologue at the beginning here, is they had the premiere on Monday night, I believe, in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And as usual with these things, the advance word was hyped beyond through the roof of all these things. We'll see what happens when the reviews come out, probably early next week. But that's where we're at now. Now I'm going to turn it over. We're going to talk about all the different aspects of the show, talk about the original Daredevil show, maybe bring you up to speed with some recap here. But Pete, you have a question to start off. I assume it's about the Marvel flip. Go ahead.
No, it's about the Punisher. I've heard rumors of the Punisher
being
born.
Hold on. Oh,
you said the last time we talked about this, you were like, did you hear about the Punisher news? And I was like,
yeah,
what are you talking about?
That was literally last night, and you were like, yeah, yo, tell me on the podcast. We were going to get to that later, Pete.
We got to talk about Daredevil first, because I don't know if you know this.
I thought maybe it was they would be a combo deal. You know what I mean? Like,
is a combo deal. I'll just mention it right up top, because otherwise this is the only thing that you're going to be focused on all podcasts.
It's the only thing he dreamt about the Punisher. He had Punisher O's for breakfast.
That's right.
He's all of his Zoom meetings for work
have
been Punisher focused.
Of mushrooms.
Yeah. My favorite part of Punisher O's is their slogan, don't eat these at a picnic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This cereal's no picnic.
Oh, boy.
Eat them with your family.
It's weird that neither of us went for a serial killer joke first, but why don't we move on again?
He's a hero.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry. That's how they refer to him in season two of Daredevil, Justin. We all remember that. That is fresh off the top of our heads, okay?
Yeah, but what you're saying is like...
You're just one bad day away from being me.
That's a crazy idea. It's true for Pete, not true for most other humans.
You're one bad podcast away from being me.
And I got to say, it's this one. This is Pete's picnic. And it's our opinions that are going to die by gunfire. What I was going to say is that it's 2018 again. You know, we're right back in it. It's the binge model. It's Netflix. We're younger. We haven't lived the last...
What's the 30 Rock thing that Alec Baldwin holds up? It's like, make it 2018 again by magic or science. That's basically what Marvel did at this point. Just to give you the news up front about this, and then we'll talk more about it later because there is more to plug into, but I think we should start with Daredevil, not the Punisher, just throwing it out there. They, during the shooting of Daredevil Born Again, obviously really liked what John Bernthal was doing and talked about what more can we do. So they announced they are doing a Punisher one-shot special like Werewolf by Night and the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special that will be co-written by Bernthal, as well as, I'm blanking on the name of the guy, but it's the guy who directed We Own This City, the HBO show that John Bernthal did with him. That great was show. Awesome.
And Bernthal shines in that show.
Yes, for sure. So very exciting, very cool news. Not going to be a full Punisher series, but is going to be probably like 45-minute, hour-long special coming at some point, which is very cool. So let's get back to the Daredevil of it all. Let's jump back in time and talk about the original Daredevil show. Again, there were three seasons on, aired from, I'm making this up off the top of my head, but I think it was like 2015 through 2018, something like that, before it was canceled along with the Marvel Netflix shows. Pete, you have watched these shows an innumerable amount of times, right?
That is correct, yes.
And Alex, you took it upon yourself to rewatch Daredevil seasons 1 through 3 over the weekend.
Yes,
a time I did. often reserved for family.
Yeah, well, no. Basically, I think of Foggy, Karen Page, and Matt as my family, and I think of whatever the priest's name was as my father. You know, so there you go.
Tragic, and for him, I believe, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, since it's the freshest. I rewatched a couple, sort of fast forwardy, and read a bunch about the seasons. But what were your takeaways? What popped as like sort of the sticky outy parts now? Because I think in general, Daredevil was the best of the shows from that era. Some people maybe have different opinions, but specifically seasons 1 and 3. I think season 2 is like maybe a bit of a dip, if I may set the table. And hallway fights. Hallway fights.
Always be fighting in hallways is what we learned from Daredevil seasons 1 through 3.
Like the reverse Severance, where it's just hallways.
Always.
Hallway
so,
chats.
Pete, are you going to get mad if I offer up opinions on the show and how they've changed over time?
Yes, definitely. Right.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that's what was going to happen so I could emotionally prepare myself. So I had a not vague memory, but like I had a memory of watching the show being like when it first came out, it wasn't exactly at the beginning of Netflix, but it was pretty close there. And I remember thinking, okay, all of these episodes are like 15 minutes too long. They're slowly paced. I'm enjoying the stuff. I like some of the cast. I like, you know, Daredevil, obviously, as a character. But it felt that way. And all the seasons at 13 episodes were like 2 to 3 episodes too long as well.
Right.
The other memory that I had before I started my rewatch was that season 1 was all right and season 3 was okay, but I remember really liking the beginning of season 2 with the Punisher, John Bernthal, fantastic, like we've of course already led with here on this Daredevil podcast.
As we do.
Yep. But he was great, and then I remember the second half being a little mixed. My reaction this time, not 100% different, but very different this time through. And this is like a very technical thing, but one of my big takeaways here, as soon as I got into the first season, is I didn't mind the length of the episodes as much. And I think a lot of that I'm still very bullish on the fact that I think TV episodes should be as long as they should be. Like, if your story is half an hour, tell it in a half an hour. If you're on streaming, you don't need to make it broadcast length, an hour, hour and a half, whatever. Like, figure it out and make it there rather than fitting this container. But with an intervening 10 years of generally hour-long streaming shows and now mostly on broadcast as well, I was much more okay with the pace of the first season.
Yeah.
I still think there's a point where it's not exactly spinning its wheels, but in all three seasons, around like episodes 9-ish through 12-ish, you start to feel like, okay, we can cut a couple of episodes out here. That's fine. Like, there's stuff that's certainly happening and I'm enjoying stuff, but this does not need to be the full 13, which, right, not to jump ahead too much, but definitely made me in a weird way more hyped for the 9 episodes that they're doing for Daredevil Born Again, because it feels like that's the amount you have to tell the story to make it like super concentrated. But just to wrap up, the last thing that I wanted to say is I completely revamped my feeling on these seasons, like 100%. Where the first season, I was shocked at how good that was, rather than in the middle of like, we're figuring out how streaming works and how does Marvel TV work and all of these things. It's really episodic, very focused, builds the characters very nicely. Obviously, like, Charlie Cox is great as Daredevil.
Yes, he
Vincent D'Onofrio is electric as Wilson Fisk. The best villains of all time, probably, like Marvel or otherwise, just absolutely fantastic. Rest of the cast is really good as well, but like, those are definitely, you can't have the show without them. And season two, watching it now, also devoid of, I didn't watch Defenders, which comes immediately after that, but it does not really work. John Bernthal is still great. I'm forgetting the name of the actress, but the actress who plays Elektra is also very good. There's some fun fight scenes in it, but there's so much going on, and so much of it is just setting up what's going to happen in Defenders, which in retrospect we know didn't really pan out that well.
Perhaps setting up the formula for the Marvel Universe that was problematic.
Yes, but wait, let me just finish up and then I'm done with...
Keep talking for a long time, man.
Yes, that's what a podcast is. The last thing that I'm going to say is season 3 is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. It's not necessarily quite as episodic as the first season, which I always prefer, but I, even kind of knowing what was happening or remembering, I was still like gasping and laughing, and it's so tense. The second big thing that I would throw out there, and this was kind of a no-brainer, but bringing back Vincent D'Onofrio as the villain, even though there's other villains, for Daredevil Born Again is the smartest thing, because both in the first season and the third season, he's mostly off for the second season, and you could feel his lack of presence. The way that he drives these characters absolutely insane to the point that they're like, what is he going to do next, is so good and elevates the show beyond everything else. Like, Daredevil as a show, good. Daredevil with Kingpin, excellent. So there you go. Now I'm done, Pete. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to jump in.
It's, for me liking this.
No, I just wanted to jump in. You talked about Defenders, and you can talk shit about it if you want, but the kind of seeing them all together, and they had like a big fight sequence, was bananas and an absolute joy to watch. So regardless of what you think about Defenders, I thought it was worth it for that alone. And say what you want about season two, but that prison stuff with the Punisher was just
the fight scenes across the board in the show are great. And if they can keep that up, and it sounds like they have in Born Again, that's kind of going to make the show work. Like, they're just, they're really, really good. There's a bunch of them that are great. The first one take hallway fight from the first season of Daredevil, I was really floored by that. So stuff that I didn't pick up on the first time, like, that's the episode where you find out how his dad battling Jack Murdock died. And basically the whole idea there is he's like, no, I'm down and out, but I'm going to keep fighting and I'm going to win even though I've been paid to throw the fight. Daredevil has been beaten and bloodied. And at the end of the episode, that hallway fight is him doing the same thing his dad did earlier in the episode. Yeah. Again, something that I didn't really pick up on the first time through, and it's just so impressive and so emotional. And then just the other one taker, the third episode one, where he's trying to get out of the prison. He's been drugged, and he's got to get, I'm forgetting who it is, but like, there's one of the Albanians is trying to get him out of the prison, and he's just, it's all one take, Charlie Cox out of costume, so it's mostly him. I think there's a couple of places where they sub somebody out to give him a break, but for the most part, it's just like nonstop for 10 minutes. It's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of takeaways from what you said that I think will inform what we're about to get into with the new season, a new series, I guess, technically. I mean, one is, like you talked about, I think our brains have been rewired to what this is. And I think we've sort of locked in on like 9 to 10 episodes being what TV is, and it being somewhere between 40 minutes to an hour is about what we want as people. Like even 10 episode series, usually it's like 9 episodes of main story and then a little epilogue setup for the next season, basically. So it's interesting that the first Daredevil series was sort of doing that with a little extra because they were figuring it out on their own. And now this new season was about to make sort of the same mistake when they were doing 18. And they were like, hold on, let's just do the fourth season of what we did before and do it better a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. Pete, what's your impression? I mean, from having watched it so many times, what do you still get from it? What do you take away from it other than, I know,
and this then is like not a comfort, like a pillow or like a prized stuffed animal that you hold on to.
Sure.
Well, what I really enjoy about it is you've got a very interesting character who goes through a lot of different struggles, and they show that in different ways, which is interesting because there's a lot to this character. And I think there's also a lot of interesting relationships and a lot of different worlds that he tries to be a part of. And he kind of learns where he's got to back off and where he's got to double down. And I also think that it's beautifully shot, so well choreographed that it's impressive. I'm excited to get back into this world and to see what they're going to kind of do now that they know what they do well and what the fans want. So it's exciting to see. And, you know, we're very familiar with this material and the comics since we've been reading all along. So I'm excited to see what they're going to dip into, maybe what they're going to tease and play with as far as nerds are concerned. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to get excited about for this new up and coming season. One of them being like how true to the material they're going to be.
Well, let's talk about the material because season three, this is more speculation, I guess, but season three does the born again story from comics. This series is titled Born Again, but they can't do that story again.
Right.
So it's a little confusing. And coming out of Echo, it feels like we're doing Mayor Fisk.
Well, yeah. So there's a couple of storylines that I think that we know that they're doing for sure, which one of them, like you said, there is Mayor Fisk, which is Wilson Fisk runs for mayor, successfully gets it. So obviously that's a big deal for the three people, a.k.a. Foggy, Karen Page, and Matt, who want him out of the way entirely and know how bad he is for everything. We also know that there's going to be a couple of other characters in there. There's another character from Charles Soule and Ron Gurney's run on the title named Muse.
Very terrifying
serial killer, which I'm pretty excited and nervous to see. But we're going to see that in there. And also the Mayor Fisk storyline, by the way, is from Charles Soule as well. So it feels like it's pulling from his run a lot. We also know, I think this was revealed the other day in Chip Zdarsky's newsletter.
Yeah, Chip Zdarsky's run
followed Charles Soule, but there's a character, it's not Dakota North. Is it Cole North or something like that?
The cop.
Yeah, the cop. Cole North, yes.
Yeah.
The New York City cop shows up in the show. And there's a lot of other things. White Tiger is in there. We know Punisher is showing up. We know that Vanessa, Wilson Fisk's wife, is back, which I think is the biggest admission of we kind of did this wrong the first time. They originally had a different actress playing Vanessa, and then when they halted production, they brought back the original actress.
Right.
So,
smart.
I don't know. Smart. Interesting there.
Well, and that's, before we get into full-on prediction mode, it is interesting the way they've shifted the model to make this a season four. Like, in every way, is that an admission from Marvel that they're like, you know what? Is it an admission of Netflix had it? and we shouldn't have changed too much? Is it more like we need this to be a traditional TV show, and that's sort of what Netflix was doing, so let's at least scoop up that audience as we drive forward into sort of the stories we want to tell?
Well, that's an interesting point, because I feel like, you know, Netflix did have it. They've really found something in that, and if they change too much from that, that could be really upsetting as a viewer, because I think a lot of people are coming to this as a fan of the Netflix series. So I think you should try to stay as true to that as possible, because they were doing so many things right.
Well, just to jump back and give a little background here, because, again, this is like very backstage drama type thing and things that we've heard that may or may not be true. But I think a lot of them feel pretty true, at least in terms of things that we have heard, either been reported or been told otherwise, that Marvel TV, which is what Jeff Loeb ran, which was what the Marvel Netflix shows were, and Marvel Studios, which is what Kevin Feige ran and eventually brought, you know, the Disney Plus shows, did not like each other, didn't agree with their approaches, didn't want to really have anything to do with each other. And I think that came through in the way that Jeff Loeb particularly was like, started out being like, it's all connected, but we're never going to say anybody's names. Nobody's going to be mentioned. It's always the big green guy and Mr. Shield Man and all of these other things. And eventually he even got to a place, I remember interviewing him for one of the later episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., asking about, like, so wait, how does this line up with what's happening in Infinity War and Endgame? And he's like, I don't know, somebody else will figure it out.
And he was like, shut up! You shut up about all that stuff.
Well, no, like, but by that point, they had kind of given up on any sort of connection there, and then Marvel Studios came in, like you were kind of intimating, Justin, and certainly felt like, we got this from here. We'll take it over. We know how to do it. And the thing that they've consistently taken knocks for is that none of it is really TV for the most part. It's not episodic. It's movies split over 8 parts. And it's been, with varying results, diminishing returns, specifically, this only really matters to shareholders, but specifically like on the financial end in terms of driving people to actually watch stuff on Disney Plus. So, sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, and if you read the MCU book that we talked to the writers of that a while back over the summer, there's just a lot of backstory on how the Kevin Feige side of the company like crushed out basically the more comic book creator influenced Marvel Television, and like you're saying, sort of said like, we got this. But even in the shows they were making that were like, this is a TV show, a sitcom like She-Hulk. They claimed was. And it just like, they just couldn't figure out the style, the pace, the tone of that. And I think it led to like all these shows feeling like they were gesturing toward TV, like you're saying, but were really more weird. They were like distorted, because a lot of them weren't even movies. They were just like sort of woolly, twisty versions of just very long stories.
Well, let me throw something out, and this is going to get very wonky about TV and how it works just from a ratings perspective for a second. But a lot, and we've talked about this here before on the podcast, but a lot of what streamers want to do is they want to reduce a thing called churn. That's basically people leaving the app, right? They want people to get in the habit of opening up Disney Plus every single day, scrolling through it, ideally watching things on there, but really they just want them to come back and be like, Disney Plus, this is it. What's on Disney Plus? What's on Disney Plus? And unfortunately, with these shows being 6 episodes long or, you know, max 9 episodes long for the most part, that doesn't help reduce churn. And when you don't have second seasons, that's another thing that really doesn't help with reducing churn, because there's no reason to stay on the app longer. Contrast this, and this is me connecting a lot of dots that don't necessarily exist, but contrast that with X-Men 97, which never really hit anywhere in terms of the Nielsen ratings, which is the only really independent measure of these sort of things versus what Disney is saying. But we do know what happened because of X-Men 97 is that the stats for people watching X-Men the Animated Series jumped exponentially. And there are multiple seasons of that, which means people aren't able to watch that. They're not necessarily watching that at like 2 hours. They're watching that over a couple of days or a couple of weeks. You know, drawing the line very specifically with Daredevil, like I said, I mean, obviously I jammed 3 seasons of Daredevil over a weekend, but I've heard from so many people who are not just watching three seasons of Daredevil. They're also watching two seasons of Luke Cage, two seasons of Iron Fist, three seasons of Jessica Jones, Defenders, all these things. And once Daredevil Born Again hits, the same is going to happen, and it's going to continue. That exponentially reduces the churn that you can't do with six episodes of Hawkeye that maybe drives people to the MCU movies, but that's it.
Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
It's just such a, it's crazy looking back and like, you know, we weren't saying this when it was happening, so it's obviously easy to understand. And I don't want to call them like misguided or like foolish for this, but like it's such an obvious idea now. It's like it's the Pringles model of television. Like open up the canister, eat four, and then you're going to want to eat like 50. And if that supply is there, you will keep eating them. Me want more. And that's what works. It's what works in literally every aspect of human consumption. So of course that's what TV should be. And it seems like maybe there's some takeaway there finally now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we also know, and they've talked about this pretty openly, but Marvel has changed the way that they are doing TV production, where without admitting any wrongdoing or mistakes necessarily, they're like, hey, you know what I think we're going to do is we're going to have, instead of us doing it from like Kevin Feige's direction or from the overall production direction, instead, we are going to have, you know, showrunners is what we're thinking of calling them, people who run the show and lead some sort of writing staff who creates a Bible for the show and figures out multiple episodes and season long arcs. And you're like, okay, great. You invented TV. Congratulations.
Well, it's crazy on that. It's very funny what the recent interview that this is now we're just talking about all our bag. We're in our bag right now. Pete, are you in the bag with us? There's a recent interview with James
now,
Gunn.
Pete, this is the point where we're, you know, trying on clothes in the store and Pete's like sitting on the edge being like, when can we go to the comic book store?
You promised me more Pringles. Me likey, me want more Pringles.
I want to talk about the images we've seen of the
we're getting to that. I have two more things I want to say. The James Gunn and Peter Safran did an interview, and the amount of flexing they're doing on Marvel when they're like, yeah, we don't make anything until we have a script in our hands that we like. It's a script. That's sort of the show. And then we make the show. That's the way we do it. And then every item that he hit, he's like, oh, the script's not there yet. So we're not actually starting shooting. Stare blankly at Marvel Comics, Marvel television. So like, it's just wild that now, hopefully, that amount of, I'm sure they don't like that flexing and the recent failures, all that, like, I'm sure they're on it. But just a couple of things on the previous show. I feel like we can trace all of this and the fact that we're getting this new season back to the power of Charlie Cox. Mm-hmm. Like, man, this guy came in, and to a lesser extent, Vincent D'Onofrio, just because he's not the main character, he's the villain. But the two of them being able to deliver on these characters, not just in the show that was canceled, you know, almost a decade ago, getting to almost like 7 years ago. It's these characters threaded through almost every other MCU television product. And they were like, can we get Daredevil, please? It's not going well over here. Can he just come by? We want to have our character kiss him for a little bit. Is that okay?
It was great. He was great in She-Hulk.
I'm not knocking it. I'm saying he's the reason for the season right here. So like, just, that's amazing. I feel like that's
also,
it's so hard.
I mean, I think that points to get it back more in Pete's bag over here as we weave back to the show. I think that really points to why they brought back Deborah Ann Woll as Karen Page, yeah. why they brought back Eldon Henson as Foggy. It's like those three do really have a chemistry as those characters and work very nicely together. And there were rumors, we don't know how true it is, but there were rumors in the previous thing that they brought them back to kill both of them, which I'm sure, I don't know him, but I'm sure Charlie Cox was like, maybe let's not do that because yeah. people like these characters.
No, right away.
Sure do.
Well, but let's just also say it's amazing Karen Page has lived this long.
100%.
She's a character in comics that was built to die in Daredevil comics. And that's a fucked up thing in comics and all storytelling, fridging. I was reading, I didn't watch this episode, but reading Daredevil recaps where they literally fridge a character. Mm-hmm. Like a female character is found in a freezer. Yeah. I was like, Jesus, guys, that was a bad, it was a known bad trope then. And you mm-hmm. literally did it. But like the fact that, if she lives this through Born Again, it's going to be a fucking miracle, is yeah. all I'm saying.
Well, I think, I mean, not to spoil it too much, but pointing to the whole multi-season thing, they've done these 9 episodes of season 1. They're starting, as we're taping this, filming season 2 later this week with another 9 episodes, and Deborah Ann Woll is back, and I believe Eldon Henson is back. So yeah, they are continuing, and I think this also points
Force
to,
Ghosts.
Yeah, Force goes. I think this points to the popularity of Deborah Ann Woll, who is really good in the role as well, to the yeah. point that I had completely forgotten about. They build almost an entire episode around her backstory in the 3rd season,
yes.
which is really good. And it's yeah. just her with her family going through this drama. It's
like
great.
Selling drugs. It's like mm-hmm. a literal deep dive. Like they stopped the yep. entire momentum. Because wasn't it like one of the later episodes of the season where they were like, no, let's do this right now. Yes.
Well, and then they do one thing, not to quibble too much about it. They do one thing that just drives me up the wall is when you get an episode like that, you're like, oh, this is awesome. You're doing the entire episode as the flashback. So cool. And then 35 minutes of the episode, they're like, yeah, I couldn't maintain it. Here's a regular episode at the end.
Yeah.
And the regular episode at the end is like a really awesome church fight with the guy who we still don't call Bullseye and Daredevil, which is bloody and intense and great.
Yeah.
Not as good as the one in the Ben Affleck movie, right, Pete?
Come on.
The jumping up and down the organ, the little CGI Colin Farrell and stuff. Yeah. But it's still very good. But that
taking people on airplanes with peanuts, man.
For sure. Don't do it anymore. Peanut allergies. Yeah. That does bring up that one character we didn't mention is Wilson Bethel, I believe his name, is going to be back as Benjamin Dex Poindexter. The way that he got left at the end of season 3 is his back got broken by Kingpin. And the last shot, I had completely forgotten this, but the last shot is they're building back his spine. And they're like, well, I guess we can make it stronger with this experimental metal. And then they show his face. He's still awake. And they zoom in on his eye. And there's a bullseye in his eye. And it's like, you just had a good season of television. That's a weird shot to end with. But yeah. excited to have him back because he's really good as well.
And I bet yeah. they will call him Bullseye finally.
Yes.
But for sure. That brings me to, like, again, now looking forward to it. Are we going to – we're bringing back so many elements mm-hmm. That we've just talked about. What is the advancement here? Why are we coming back if we're really just doing more of what we already have? Like, don't we need more?
Well, let me throw out at you to kind of contradict what I said before, and this is pure speculation, but I have been thinking about a lot, like, how do you have Punisher, White Tiger, Bullseye, Muse – plus Mayor
Elektra.
Is Elektra? I don't think Elektra's coming back. I mean, do you know
that's
something,
just,
Pete?
That's
is this
Pete.
Hot Pete scoop?
That's just Pete shouting up to the big guy upstairs being like, please?
Please,
please,
please.
Please. I mean, maybe she will come back. I guess we'll see. She was left crushed under an entire building, I believe, at the end of Defenders.
Worse has happened to Elektra.
Maybe so, we could strengthen her spine, too. Zoom in on her eye. It's a traditional sigh.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes, she could certainly come back. But this is a lot of stuff. Here's what I think, I'm hoping for. I hope we actually get almost like a villain of the week per episode, as well as the overarching plot of Mayor Fisk.
They cannot do that. They can't do it. No, and Marvel shows just seem to not be capable of being like, and we'll just do this film this week. And it's crazy. There's so many, like a show, like an oft-referenced Batman the Animated Series was like, we'll just do this villain for this episode. And that's it. And any other of these hour-long shows, double the length, they're like, well, can we have to set them up ahead of time and then maybe do an epilogue where that villain then is in 9 more episodes. It's like, whoa! Whoa.
We'll never call him Bullseye, but we will show you his eye during surgery.
Well, and here's what I think, going off of your prediction. I think we're going to get the Gothamification of New York and Daredevil. Mm. You're going to have, it's going to be like City of Crime, Fisk up top, and just slow burn on him taking power. Cole North on the street, like calling up Daredevil, like, yo, here's this White Tiger's doing this. I think we're going to jump around. I think it'll be a little bit episode. It's going to be like situation of the week, hopefully. And it'll be almost like a, you remember the old karate Nintendo Kid? Game? No, it was just, what was it called? I can't remember. Where you just would go up a different floor.
And oh, yeah, the different, yeah, yeah.
And it was great. And you at the end of the dude, it'd be like, whoa. At the end of the level, there'd be like a dude with a stick. You're like, oh, no, this guy's hard because he has that stick. I think it's going to be, each episode's going to be like, get over, beat White Tiger at the docks, go up, like, trot back, encounter Wilson Fisk. He laughs and like, see you at the top of the building. And then he goes, Donkey Kong's up to the top of the building. That would be my prediction. So it's very episodic, sort of video gamey, almost like a long plot built around the idea of a hallway fight, a narrative hallway fight, as it were. That's what I want to see with it.
Yeah, I also don't think, while we're talking wild speculation, just in terms of the Mayor Fisk of it all, I think we're going to see him elected, but I don't think, there's been a bunch of people speculating we're going to see Devil's Reign. That crossover by Chip Zdarsky was all the heroes in New York get outlawed and all fight to take Mayor Fisk down, with ultimately Luke Cage becoming the mayor of New York. I almost think we're not going to see even close to that. Like, we know...
Oh, that would be amazing, though.
We know there's going to be an anti-vigilante task force, so I think that's going to be part of it. That might be how we bring in White Tiger, how we bring in the Punisher, et cetera, et cetera.
Elektra.
Elektra. But I think we're going to end this season with Fisk still mayor. Like, I don't think they've taken him down. And I think we're going to carry that over to the next season. Because I think, like, the not-so-dirty secret here is they picked it up for 18 episodes. And they're like, well, hold on, we're just doing 9. But they picked it up for 18. So it's basically like we're getting
two seasons,
two parts of one season is kind of
and
what's
going
on. And
the second season will be the Mayor Foggy season.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, I want to talk about what we've seen. We've seen an intense scene between Fisk and Charlie Cox sitting at a diner table.
Yeah, and to be clear, this was Vincent D'Onofrio in character as Wilson Fisk talking to the actor Charlie Cox.
That's right, yeah. And it's a very intense scene that I can't wait to see in real time. He kind of like says, why'd you give it up? Why did you stop being Daredevil? And so we know that he's been outed, that people know who he is. So it seems to me that we've got to go ahead.
I don't know if we do. I don't know. He knows that he's Daredevil because he figured it out in season 3 based on something that Karen Page didn't say. But here's what I think happened. He says there was a line that was crossed. I think Daredevil killed somebody, right? Daredevil killed somebody. It was like, I crossed the line. I can't do this anymore. I can't be a hero. I'm just going to give it up entirely. And that's how we get an explanation of he's been away and just been a lawyer for the past 7 years since, say, I don't know, 2018 or so, something like that.
It's all real time.
All real time. Or I guess unless this takes place in whatever far future version of the MCU we're in at this point. I think it's like 2027, 2028, something like that. But I guess we'll see what happens. But that's my supposition.
I was thinking it was more of a thing where to try to take down his run for mayor, like he outed himself as Daredevil to kind of prove that this guy isn't right, isn't fit to kind of be mayor, and that what got him in trouble a little bit.
Do you think like when he says line was crossed, like he dipped his chips twice or something like that at a party?
Yeah, you got to give up your dreams if you do that. So
we know you're blind, but gross.
That's so gross. Yeah. You never double dip. I just think it's one of those things where I think it's a very exciting scene for a lot of reasons. But the looming Vincent D'Onofrio, the way they kind of shoot him and make him bigger than life, which I think they do a great job of bringing from the comics, just makes him just feel so much more epic. And that sit down where they're both at a very small table in a diner is just, oh man, so enemies so close to each other. I love the tension.
And what did I don't remember if this happens in the scene. What do they order? Do they get like disco fries or what kind of?
I think they split some apps, you know, among friends.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Short order Fisk is what's coming. In the
oh boy.
Where he,
he does love his omelets. So maybe he's like, I'm going to have breakfast for dinner.
What would be cool, though, is if Charlie Cox kind of steps down and Elektra steps up as Daredevil.
You've got to stop
that. Not going to happen. Get out of here with those weird takes.
I legitimately cannot deal with another 8 to 9 weeks, whatever. We're getting 7 weeks of this, so please.
Please don't. When does Iron Fist show up? Which episode do you think?
Oh, probably the 10th episode, I believe. The 10th secret episode that they're not.
Well, but more seriously, I saw some footage, and it's him getting run over by a truck, which is crazy.
Do you think they're going to do for Iron Fist? There was that great annual crossover called Enter the Wood Chipper that I believe Iron Fist was in. So fingers crossed. That's the one where he fell into a wood chipper.
When you
very
brought
slow,
up the
nine annuals.
You really got to see every piece
came in and
were
like, can we stop
out.
This? I don't know.
But it would be awesome.
Someone unplug it. We can't.
Yeah,
it
would be battery cool powered.
If we saw cameos from the other, you know,
well,
if
I was
we saw
say,
Jessica
we see
Jones.
Any defenders?
It would be cool to see Jessica Jones. It would be great to see Luke Cage. End of list.
I don't know. I don't know because I would not be surprised if I saw them, mind you, but I kind of feel like there's so much going into the season already that they probably were like, let's see if all this works. And as soon as they realized the second time around, okay, this does work, we're going into season two, I think it would be much more likely we see Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones, Mike Coulter as Luke Cage, et cetera.
Let me ask you this.
Et cetera. Yeah. Et cetera doing a lot there.
I was thinking about, like, what if they did something so crazy, like your nerd brain melted? Like, I would lose my mind if Mahershala Ali showed up as Blade. That would be crazy.
Pete, you're a dreamer, and I love it. Yeah. I love you
I think that secret episode 10 is Iron Fist taking on Mahershala Ali's Blade and Elektra all in the same episode.
Wow.
So sweet. Let's talk
and
about
Pete, it's crazy. Pete, you're there. You're there, too. Your last thing before you move to Vision Board.
No. I was just going to read off some of the cast members, but go ahead.
Well, last thing. Where are we with She-Hulk, Karen Page? That's weird.
I don't think they're going to refer to She-Hulk necessarily.
Never.
At all. I don't think so. It feels like a very different show.
I feel like that was the one thing from She-Hulk. Everyone was like, we love this.
Yeah. It was great. It was very fun. But,
the two of them were great.
But to talk about characters that we are going to see here beyond the ones that we mentioned, Margarita LaViva is going to play Heather Glenn, who is a therapist and love interest for Matt Murdock. So I think maybe we've moved on from Karen Page for the time being and instead going to get her, Heather Glenn. I don't know. Maybe. Pete, we didn't have your 7 minutes in heaven with Foggy. Anything you want to say about Eldon Henson returning?
Well, we all know that you can't talk about Daredevil without Foggy.
Just did for like 40 minutes. We're very good at it, actually. It's one of our skills.
Well, I disagree. I think that Foggy is his kind of rock for when he's trying to be a lawyer and, like a real person instead of a vigilante. So I do think it's an important part of the story.
I hate to give it to you, Pete, but I do want to say one of my other big takeaways from this rewatch, Eldon Henson drove me up the wall the first time. Second time, I was like, hey, he's all right.
Yeah, he is.
So third time through Daredevil, I'll actually start to like him. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, you will.
Wow.
Come on over to the Foggy side.
That's the faintest praise. That's the faintest praise I've ever heard, and I work in entertainment.
I'll take it.
You know what? I didn't like it at first, and now I only just didn't hate it.
A couple of others that are in here. We're getting Zabirna Guevara as Sheila Rivera, Nikki M. James as Kristen McDuffie, district attorney, who, if I remember correctly, is another love interest.
Another love interest, yes.
Comics. We also got Jenia Walton as B.B. Urich, who is described as a young journalist with a connection to a character from Daredevil. Who could that be?
What a mystery. Baby boy, baby Ben Urich is the what BB stands for.
I will say, for the first season, watching them kill Ben Urich, it's a horrible scene, and also just like, what a bummer to get rid of.
Also, Ben Urich, one of the few characters, like a Rick Jones, like a character that just like is all across the Marvel universe, just a utility player. And when in the season one of Daredevil they killed him, I was like, this show doesn't give a fuck. This universe doesn't understand this shit.
Yeah. So I'm glad they're probably going to bring back a younger, smaller version of Ben Urich. So that's good. We got Clark Johnson as Cherry, who is a police officer who works with Matt. One I was curious to get your opinion on, Justin. Michael Gandolfini is playing Daniel Blake, who is a protege of Fisk's. I don't remember if this is a character from the comics or not, but that's interesting.
You're getting a young Gandolfini as a young Fisk. Oh,
did you guys see the Many Saints of Newark, the Sopranos prequel?
I did watch that long time ago.
How was little Gandolfini in that?
He was fine. Yes, I saw someone post about this, the Dan Blake thing, and if you look it up on the Marvel fandom, it's a picture of like a pink worm-faced alien. He's a Martian spy disguised himself as the human astronaut Dan Blake.
Spoilers, man. Spoilers.
Yeah, geez.
I do love it when they pick a name out of the hat. They're like, anybody using that name? No, here we go.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. But that's interesting. That'll be interesting to see him have a protege. The other ones from a MCU perspective, we are getting Mohan Kapoor is back from Ms. Marvel as Yousef Khan, the father of Kamala Khan, which is weird because I believe he had some very strange texts to younger women, let's say.
Ouch.
Mm. Had a little bit of a scandal there. So weird to bring him back, but much better. Tony Dalton is going to be back as Jack Duquesne, a.k.a. the Swordsman from Hawkeye.
Oh, nice.
He's great. Yeah. I hope they use him as the Swordsman because it did not. That's one of the elements of Hawkeye that just didn't pan out.
But he was so great in that, though.
He was great.
Yeah. That whole series was a little bit blue ballsy. And here's hoping we get to see some payoff there on that.
And there's a couple of others there. We mentioned White Tiger. Sadly, the actor who plays White Tiger, Kamar de los Reyes, passed away before the season, but will show up here. No. We talked about Cole North. And then, we have somebody is playing Muse. They haven't revealed who is playing Muse, but we will see. So maybe that'll be a little bit of a mystery thing in terms of who is Muse.
Probably Christopher Walken.
What are you getting at?
He's very, very shooting from the hip today. I think there's too much positive energy in Pete right now with Daredevil coming back.
Yeah.
It's almost like Pete won. He's getting Punisher. He's getting Daredevil.
Come on, baby.
Now, the other thing, what did they direct? Oh, yeah. So Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead are directing a bunch of the episodes. They previously directed two episodes of Moon Knight and were the lead directors on the second season of Loki. That's interesting enhanced talent. And I remember them being like, pretty good. That's cool. And also pretty exciting. Dario Scardapane, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, was the new showrunner they brought in. He previously worked on The Punisher, which I will not say anything about the second season, but the first season of The Punisher, very good.
All seasons of The Punisher is great.
Nice. Interesting take. So there you go. That's all the cast. We've certainly talked about a lot of stuff here. Why don't we turn to our vision board and talk about what we want to see about in the show, what we're excited, what we expect to see. Pete, other than Elektra, that's off the table. What's something that you're excited to see that maybe we haven't talked about yet?
Okay, here we go. So first episode, first scene. All right. he wakes up into a hallway and he doesn't know where he is and he's got to fight his way out. And it's just shot for all 40 minutes of just nonstop.
He wakes up in a hallway.
Yeah. You know, one of those nights where you wake up in a hallway and you got to fight your way out. You know what I mean?
100%.
Great call. I mean, that legitimately, not 40 minutes, but some of that could be what it is, I would say. I mean, my big takeaway, I'm answering a question I posed earlier, was like, well, how is this going to be different? And I think my biggest hope is built around Muse, a villain that is like pretty horror tinged, like gruesome, like mysterious, haunting. If this show can turn a corner into a scarier tone and a scarier like part of New York City and create that city of crime built around like some really awful things happening, that's a great angle for them to go. And it advances. They did a little bit of that in Echo, I feel like. They made Wilson Fisk more brutal. And if they can make it, I don't need the bone-breaking violence as much, but I would like to have a little more horror in it.
Yeah. I have a couple of little things that I'd like to see. We talked about Wilson Bethel as Bullseye. I think there were set pictures of him still in the fake Daredevil costume. And boy, I'd love for them to get away from that. Like, that was fine as a device for the third season for plot reasons. But like, get him in a Bullseye costume. That's what we need. He's great.
Well, the Bullseye costume is sort of the original season one Daredevil costume, basically. So, like, just have him switch clothes in a classic switcheroo. Sure.
And, I mean, that gets to a bigger thing, which they seem to be doing. But, like, third season was very faithful to the tone of Daredevil. But I want to see them, since they're now in the MCU, I want to see a little bit of that comic book nature come in there. Maybe take a couple of hints from the She-Hulk episode and realize that you can make it a little fantastical if you want. Certainly seems, again, what they're doing with Muse. That would be great. And the other thing, which we haven't discussed yet, but I got pretty curious about while I was rewatching the episodes, I hope they figure out a way to bring the musical theme back, because that title theme for Daredevil was really good. I believe the Newton brothers are doing the music for this, and they're the ones who revamped the X-Men theme for X-Men 97. So my hope is we get that Daredevil music, but in some newer form, because I don't know. Every good hero needs a really good musical theme. The Daredevil one is actually very good.
Every good hero needs a sick
backing track. They do, though, man. Like, think about it. When you think about Batman, you think about Batman music. When you think about Superman,
the
Bat-dance. Yeah, the Bat-dance, obviously. When you think about Superman, you think about John Williams' theme. And I do think the Daredevil theme on the opening credits is pretty iconic. So we'll see what happens.
Spider-Man theme is fun.
Not familiar. Could you hum a few bars?
No, I'm not going to fall for that.
All right.
Fall for that.
Fall for that.
You got song pranked.
Well, anyway, we will see what happens soon enough, because two episodes are debuting, as we mentioned earlier, on March 4th. And we will
come on,
be there
March 4th.
To recap them all here on Marvel Vision. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub for ad-free versions of the show, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
Foggy wakes up in hell, and for the whole first episode, he's just absolutely roasted by an actual devil.
Ooh. Like spit roasted, like
that's true. Thank you, B. I didn't want to say it, but you painted a picture.
Okay.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.